Welcome to Open Source Democracy. It is a podcast series about why open source is important for democracy. I, Pernille Tranberg, am the producer, editor and host. I'm a journalist having specialized in data and AI ethics. My co-host is Renee Ridgway. She holds a PhD and is a researcher at Aarhus University, Department of Digital Design and Information Studies, and part of the Shape Center. She has specialized in open source. Today, we are at Café Mellemrummet at Nørrebro in Copenhagen to participate in an open street map mapping event. OpenStreetMap is an open source map and very different from commercial maps we know from Google and Apple. Here, voluntary mappers meet up to update and make OpenStreetMap better by adding stuff, be it new benches, how many steps there are from one level to another, or new biking routes. One of the mappers is Ove Larsen. He's a retired project manager and an open source activist. Welcome, Ove. First, I would like to know why you bother spending a Sunday making OpenStreetMap better.
If you look at the commercial maps which are available, they are designed by big tech corporations in America. And that's why they are mainly focused on cars and shopping. And that's not what people in Copenhagen most use it for. They use maps for biking, walking, jogging, and there is a map for that where you can participate as a volunteer to make sure that the map is good for people in the city. It's good for people who have handicap. You can help how many steps are here from the S-train station. So people which are not interested for commercial purposes need maps too. It's the most interesting is what's relevant for daily life.
Ove, there's also a difference when it comes to privacy between OSM and, for example, Google Maps or other commercial maps. What's that?
The commercial companies live by selling your data for selling advertising. So they need to know where you are and they need to know what you're looking at. OpenStreetMap, if you use the OpenStreetMap.org website, you won't get tracked. If you participate, you will need to put in, you had to log in, because we need to be able to reverse if you do something wrong. But it won't be sold. That data is not going to be sold. There's no surveilling capitalism in OpenStreetMap.
I know that quite a lot of apps are actually using OpenStreetMaps. Can you tell me a bit about that?
If you use Apple Map on your MacBook, the basic of Apple Map is actually OpenStreetMap with some layers on top of that, which Apple seems to think is the right thing to do. And Microsoft is using OpenStreetMap in their Bing Map too as a basic.
Welcome to you, Søren.
Thank you.
You are an IT consultant and you are a mapper. And whenever there is somebody coming down to your open events like here, you help them to begin with. What do you do to help people who want to become a mapper?
The problem with OpenStreetMap is that you can map everything in the world, so we have to make them curious about what the topic they're interested in. And then I go out with an app called Street Complete, and then we can choose some tasks to do. Is the bench here have its backrest, yes or no? What kind of surface has this road? Is there any street light and so on? And then people get very curious about that and they're trying it on their own phone and think they will go home and map more where they live. Because OpenStreetMap is more local focused. People want to map where they live. and make the environment better.
Søren, why is open source mapping important for democracy?
Well, I can start with the story about World Wide Web, because Tim Berners-Lee, when he released the software and the technology behind it, he gave it for free. And now we can see 30 years after what the World Wide Web has become. And a lot of the countries in the world have not been mapped. And last time they were being mapped, they were still under the English Empire or whatever in Africa. Now they have the opportunity to create their own maps, because the urbanization in Africa is going, in some countries, is very going very fast, and then you have to have new maps. Where is the roads, where is the buildings, and stuff like that. So it gives new alternatives and a new way of doing things, and you can get it for free.
How is data from OpenStreetMap stored? Is it stored on an Amazon server owned by the US company, or what?
No, it's stored in a European company in the Netherlands, and we have a backup in Ireland, so we have not any American. But I want to tell you a story about Brexit, because when Brexit was implemented, then we have OpenStreetMap have to move the server from England to the Netherlands and the island, because we don't want to be in under the English law. Then we thought that EU law was much better. OpenStreetMap has a foundation called OSM Foundation. They don't own the data, but they take government of this infrastructure and make sure we can get the data. And they have 1.5 person employed, and they're mainly focused on the IT structure. So it's very low budget organizations.
René, can you give me some reflections on today with the OpenStreetMap here in Copenhagen?
Well, Pernille, it was incredible to learn about OpenStreetMap in a, say, real context. That is, people who are actually doing things. So we had 3 people, who, one in the background who didn't want to be interviewed, who was really actually adding data to OpenStreetMaps. What exactly? We don't know. Then Ove, of course, was sharing his perspective on what, why, and why bother. And I think that what he is an activist, an open source activist. And he was really explaining to us about why he does it. And of course, it's about not wanting to use Google, not wanting to be tracked, not wanting to have surveillance capitalism. But it was also about the community and about the needs of the community, whether that be adding, you know, benches to public toilets, to bike routes, instead of having a generalized car mentality that, you know, gives you the shortest way somewhere to drive. It's about the public. And that type of citizenry is not just about Denmark. There's a humanitarian aspect. You can actually go and map. It's called Humanitarian Street Map, and that's a global perspective. And that is what they've been doing here, or at least he has, because he's lived abroad, and understanding the perspective of the global south. So what he says in his values are, you know, a bottom-up approach to everything, where it's not about this hierarchy, it's about human-centered usage of open source maps, in this case OpenStreetMap. So the other point I think that was really important that Ove shared with us that I hadn't thought about and we hadn't discussed was AI. I mean, AI is scraping the internet, of course, to train its models, but also OpenStreetMap has been part of that, and that these companies have been also scraping. And then there has been this pushback from OpenStreetMap. But they're the ones who have to clean up. They're the cleaners. They're the ones who have to fix everything because it does damage to the website. So I think that that's also something important to realize, that this open data, right, for public good, it's a public good for the world, that it also gets taken up into this machine of AI scraping everything. Then CERN is an IT consultant, and he showed us basically everything you can do. He likes to take people out on, with the maps, but to use this thing, this app called Street Complete, which is only for Android. But you can go outside and you can actually, when you're walking, decide, oh, you know, you have these different choice menu that appears to say, what type of road is this? Is it gravel? Is it pavement? Is it dirt? Is this business or the opening hours, are those correct? So it's basically, you know, harnessing the energy of the crowdsourcing energy to verify different types of information through Street Complete, which draws on OpenStreetMaps. He also shared that it was really important to show, you can show with OpenStreetMaps heat. So if it's too hot, you can actually, for especially for people with health problems, elderly people, you can choose roads that have more shadows from trees. And that's a better way to walk through the cities. And to choose the roads that are, let's say, less polluted. He also had an example of a 15-minute city, which is that certain cities are designed that you have to be within 15 minutes of walking distance to schools or shops, or in certain cities it's biking within so many minutes. And that is also something that OpenStreetMaps contributes to. Like he gave the example of Ballarup, where for three libraries, you know, biking to them, 63% of the city's population can bike within 5 minutes. So they also have a kind of a slogan where they say, like, Google Maps is only for people driving cars to shopping malls, whereas OpenStreetMaps is really for people and communities to be interested, and it's about what the communities want.
There was one really cool service called Show Me the Way. What was that?
You can see live. You can watch visually people, every single update, it's a data point, and then as soon as the data point is updated, you get to see it on the map live, and it draws a line around what someone has just did. So volunteers working around the world, you actually see their actions, you actually see their labor through this lens of a map, and I think that that was really fantastic.
Open Source Democracy is a research and communication project about why open source is important for democracy, the ethics and values of European alternatives to big tech. It is funded by Carlsberg Minilegate. You'll find it all on dataethics.eu/open source. The music is made by Joytown.